Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, good morning, everybody. This is Natalie. Usually I say good evening or good afternoon. It's good morning for me. I have a lovely guest from way on the other side of the world, and we're going to speak with her in a minute. First of all, I want to tell everybody that the magazine is up, the new issue. Another good one, another big one, you know, and I just, you know, everybody knows I listen to my music when I do the magazine, and I just love it. It's wonderful. And also stars with the ZPsychics.com. We still have our offer for first 3 minutes are free for new accounts. Go there, StarZPsychics.com. And, you know, there's quite a variety. I've got a lot of readers that are, I like to call them advisors because readers, they'll say, readers, what are they doing? Are they reading a book? No, advisors. We'll call them advisors. But anyways, it's a good day here in South Carolina. I've got my coffee, and I've already talked to my guest, so I'm going to bring her on right now. She is a certified coach, and she is in Singapore. How amazing is that? We were just talking about where she is and my vision of what it looks like. But so let's bring her on, Aggie Heal. How are you today? This evening for you.
I'm good, thank you. This evening, exactly. This evening over in now nighttime Singapore, but usually very sunny and hot.
Yes, we're talking about the weather. It's the same thing here in South Carolina, steamy, hot. And but you know what? I'm originally from Michigan, where it was ice and snow, and right now up there it's probably getting colder because it's in October, and that's what happens there. It changes quickly. But, oh, I love it here. I love it here. Maybe one day I'll – now, is Singapore it's considered the Orient, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, so we're going to talk about some things here, how she got started and all of that, and talk about something that everybody – at least sometime in their life, the last couple of years have been going through, and that is stress. Even myself. I don't know if there's a technique that we're going to find out from Aggie. So, Aggie, how did you get started? First of all, you lived, you were born in the U.S., right? And you grew up in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And you studied in the U.K., right? And but how did all this come to be for you? I mean, your family was in the U.S. Then what happened? I mean, did they decide to move? Were they also were they writers? Tell us a little bit about your background.
They aren't writers, but an interesting thought. I've never thought of that before. Yes, no. So they were working over in the U.S. and I happened to be born there, and moved on to Hong Kong as expats, and we spent 14 years. So up until the age I was about 15, growing up in Hong Kong, and it was pretty cool. It was a very good place to grow up and very free, a lot of kind of freedom and autonomy. And then I went back and studied in the UK, was at Leeds University doing English literature before heading down to London, where I kind of started my career. I was out in the world. And as you mentioned, now based in Singapore, where we moved nearly four years ago now.
Oh, okay. But, okay, so your parents were writers, okay. Now, what kind of writing did they do? Did they do books also or what?
They weren't writers. Sorry, I probably didn't make that clear enough. They weren't writers. They were, my mum has always focused on dyslexia and dyspraxia in teaching, and
Okay.
My dad was just in finance and kind of a bunch of different things.
Yeah, but see, very intelligent people.
Weren't.
And I, you know, Aggie, I have noticed everybody that I have talked with, their parents, I have to say 99.9% have been highly educated. You know, they weren't just like factory workers or, and that's the truth.
Mm.
So your surroundings were really, really good for you in growing up. Okay, did you always want to write, or I want to know how you got started in all of this, you know, dealing with stress, and you're a coach, and, you know, you've just done so much, and I'm sure you've helped a lot of people, and I'm sure the people that are listening or will be listening later on, because this is recorded, will learn some good, maybe, techniques, even for me. You know, when I get stressed, my mind goes at warp speed. I'm like over here, and I'm over there, and I'm over here. You know, when you have a site and you try to build, keep continuing to build your business, it can be stressful because, like for me, and I'm using myself as an example, you have people that work on your site, and you want them to be busy. And if you don't see them busy, that's stressful. So I spend my day, you know, spinning my wheels trying to figure out what I can do, and I talk to so many people. So, no, but why, I mean, is this a field you wanted to go into always, or did you start off doing something else?
Not at all, and it's interesting, so I studied English literature at university, but I always loved kind of books and reading and literature from the kind of consumer side. I never thought that writing was in me or something that was I didn't kind of set out in the world wanting to write a book, but to kind of give you a bit of the story of how I got there is that I, after graduating from university, I came down to London and started a career in financial services recruitment. And it just kept on going from, you know, heights to heights. It just kept on growing and getting bigger and better. I got headhunted to another company and kind of grew with that company. But I got to this point where I found myself with a lot of things on paper. I was ticking many boxes. I was the youngest director by 10 years. I was managing three teams. I was a top filler. I was engaged to be married. It was like tick, 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 all the things that I thought I wanted. And I suddenly, out of nowhere, having to my experience at that moment, not experienced anxiety or panic attacks at all. Out of left field, I had a mega, mega panic attack and then a series of panic attacks over a few months.
Okay.
And so I all of a sudden was like, uh-oh, like I have no idea what's happening. I have no comprehension or kind of terminology to describe or explain this. And I was just, I was blindsided. I was very scared. I felt very lonely. And I just wish I had had this book, like this thing that was.
You wish you had had somebody like you along your side saying, Aggie, now this is what we have to do. Be calm. But you didn't,
Totally.
And it's scary. It is scary to have those. I had one. Well, I've had a few, but not bad. The first one I ever had was I woke up and I couldn't breathe, but I could breathe. You know, it's that, you know what that's like.
Mm.
You can breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just be calm, but it didn't matter how calm I was. And then I learned that if you blow into a paper bag and breathe it back in again, it's going to really help you. There are other techniques that you can do, but that has got to be the scariest because somebody could say, well, Natalie, take a breath. You can breathe. You're here. You're alive. But to me, it was like the scariest moment. And, you know, I think it's probably happening a lot more now with what the world's been going through. I think people are standing and saying, what do I do? What do I do? You know, I'm not working or my hours are cut. Or this and that, and you're going helter-skelter is what the word is, the term is, but I don't know. So that started you on a new path, your panic attacks, right?
It absolutely did, yeah. So not only did I then have this experience of kind of navigating myself through, to me at that time, complete hell, and like not knowing where the end was. You know, I just couldn't see my way out of it. But like I mentioned, we were engaged to be married. So I kind of thought, oh, you know, like after the wedding, maybe I'll be, you know, it's just the pressure, you know, it's just the straw that broke the camel's back. But actually I realized that it was so much deeper than that. You know, I got after the wedding and I was like, great, I'm going to be totally awesome now. And I was like, oh, I'm not. I'm still feeling like all over the shop and not really myself. So anyway, I continued, I got it under control and did a number of the things, the techniques in this book, and sought out help and built a kind of support network around me. But I ended up resigning about a year, just over a year later. And because I just thought, is this it? Like, is this what my life and career is all about? And it just, I don't know, it was good on paper. It just wasn't really like in my heart.
Because you were intelligent and you knew there has to be a way to confront it and to fix it.
Yeah.
But you still, and I want people to understand, even though you may not have them for a long, long time, you could still have another one. I mean, it can still happen to you. And I don't, what is it exactly? Is it a trigger? Something happens, like you were going to be married, okay? But people get married and they don't have panic attacks. But what do you think mm-hmm. was the trigger for you? Do you think it was, do you have any idea, I should say, at all?
I think it was a real build-up, and I missed so many of the red flags because I didn't realize they were linked to all of this. So, like, even small things, like, at that time, you know, like, I would smoke cigarettes, I would have a bad night's sleep, I'd maybe skip an exercise, or I'd, you know, just work even later, or add more to my plate, or run 1,000 miles trying to socialize and succeed at work. You know, all of these little things, although in itself aren't huge, actually they add up. So if you're kind of slammed and working till 8 p.m. at night and then rushing to a dinner and having a glass of wine and a cigarette and not getting to bed and then waking up and skipping the,
yeah.
I don't know, whatever it is, you know, you can just see how it almost...
it sets you up.
Exactly. And
it sets you up for a fall. And you're talking and I'm thinking back, did this ever happen to me? I used to stay up really late when my – I have three sites. When the sites were new, especially the first one. But, you know, I don't know. I felt like I had to oversee, but you really don't. You know, I mean, I changed that thought process. And the only one that I really oversee a lot of is my stars, but the magazine is once a month. But I, you know, I love doing that. So I don't know, and I should be quiet and not say it because I'll probably have one. I haven't had one in quite a while, but I take time for self now. I haven't been exercising like I should because I, you know, I hate to say this, but I got the vaccination and I didn't feel good for months. I really did not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it was. I mean, everything was good. All my blood work was good. I went to see my doctor. Oh, there's nothing wrong with you. Yeah, but there is something wrong. You know, and I was thinking to myself, you know, he just doesn't get it because he's not me. You know, so I tried to figure it out a little bit by doing a lot of research because I love to do that. And I realized, you know, you've got to change this pace that you're on and you've got to slow down and enjoy life and be happy that you're walking and talking. And the more I watched things happening around the world, the more I realized how fortunate I am. I don't know. I just changed my thinking on some things. I don't even know if that's the key, Aggie, because I don't know what it was. But so you think writing about it really helped you?
Absolutely. So when I started, just to go back to what you were just saying, is what's so interesting about that is that it doesn't matter whether that works for anyone else. It doesn't matter if that makes sense or not. But if for you, it works, it makes sense, it had an impact, then that's like good to go. You know, that's what we're kind of aiming for. And that's almost like the intention of the book, is there's so many different chapters and techniques, over 100 in the book, that people can just dip in. So that if it's about setting boundaries, they just go to that chapter. If it's about trusting your gut, you know, you just talked about your intuition, you know, you just knew something was wrong, you know, you, and actually having the kind of confidence to even, you know, locate your gut or your instincts or your intuition in the first place, but actually trust it, you know, so then the reader gets to decide what works for them. I'm not determining, you know, for you, Natalie, okay, well, you must go off and do 10 star jumps and 10 deep breaths and you're going to be totally fine. You know, that might not work, but it might work.
No,
for,
true. It'll just get you out of breath.
Yeah.
No, it's true. It's true. I don't know. I mean, and like you said, everybody's little technique is different. I mean, everybody has to do something different. It's difficult. And you know, as well as we're both sitting in our seats, that everybody in the world is going through something, and it can lead to these kinds of anxiety, panic attacks. What's the difference between an anxiety attack and a panic? Are they the same in one?
For me, an anxiety attack and a panic attack are the same thing.
Okay.
Anxiety, for me, the way that kind of most simply I define it is like a worry about something that's upcoming. So it's like something that's coming down the future, coming down the kind of pathway at you, and it's ultimately feeling like you can't control it. And anxiety for me is like the precursor to a panic attack, and then a panic attack is when it tips over and your body takes control. You know, it's quite amazing what our bodies can do. And if we look back to our ancestors, the cavemen, you know, it was a very real, that stress response was triggered when they had a threat in front of them, and it kept them safe. It was called the survival response. And so that fight, flight, or freeze response, after this like concoction of hormones with adrenaline and cortisol were released, would cause them to fight, flee to safety, or just freeze and make, you know, blend them into the background. And the difficulty is what's happening today is that we're interpreting the threat in front of us as though it's a saber-toothed tiger or a poisonous berry, like our cavemen ancestors needed to stay alive. But actually it's just a phone call, or it's a dinner with friends, or it's walking into a new, I don't know, coffee shop, I don't know, whatever.
Right, something new, exactly, something new, because you've not experienced the exact same thing. It's like, for me, I would probably have one if I had to speak in front of people. I'm really great on the phone. I mean, perfect. You know, I mean, everybody loves talking to me, but I bet you any money my heart would be racing if I had to stand in front of five people and talk. I don't know. You know, now that could bring on something for me, but maybe what it is it's these little triggers that something new that you've not ever, you know, you've not walked through that door, you've not taken those steps, so you don't, it's not familiar to you, so it gets scary. And I think once it gets scary, oh, look out. You've set the road for yourself. You have to be careful. But now I want to talk about your book, because, of course, it's Generation Panic, perfect, Simple and Empowering Techniques to Combat Anxiety. That's your book that came out May 28th. It's perfect for this time. Perfect. It's just perfect because if you could learn what that trigger is to stop you, from going off the deep end, as we say sometimes, it would be, you'd have a much better day, much better month, and all of that. Now, if you, somebody comes to you and says, I'm having these way too much, what can I do? And you've done an awful lot. I'm just dwelling on this because your book is about panic, and I mean, you've got a lot of credentials. You're just most awesome. But I want to keep touching on this because I think you really know. So what does somebody do? Say I came to you and I said, Aggie, I wouldn't say Aggie, I said Miss Heal. what do I do?
You call me Aggie.
Yeah, I can't stop these. You know, every day, it's not every day, but I mean, I think sometimes too, once you have them, you keep having them unless you can find a trigger to stop it or kind of like mellow out with it and understand it. So what would you tell somebody when they come to you? And I mean, you can see they're in a real state. You just look at them and you know, oh God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I've got to do this and how can I do this and all of that. How do you calm them down?
Well, first things first, I'd tell them to buy the book and to run through it in their own time and find what works for them. Because again, if I determine, okay, great, you need to do X, Y, Z, it might not resonate with them, or they might be like, this is, I don't know, wacky or woo-woo, or this is too technical, or this is crazy, or this is stupid, you know? And so I would really encourage them to read through in their own time and like truly find what works for them. And, you know, for me, when I was struggling, I really had difficulties, you know, like you were talking earlier about how it just gets faster and faster. I had that, and I was like, I can't land on stuff, you know, like I can't concentrate, I can't think clearly, I can't take on like huge amounts of information. And so the way that the book is written is that it's in really digestible, bite-sized chunks that people can just dip in. So if they're really struggling, it's like, great, what's like, you know, you can even read through the contents page and be like, which chapter is speaking to me right now? Okay, I'm just going to dip in, take a tool, go and apply it, feel better. If I don't, revisit, you know, repeat. And so they can decide. But if someone came to me, like, Natalie, if you walked in right now, the first thing I'd do would be to control your breathing and to make sure that, you know, when we're very anxious or in a panic attack, it becomes very high in our chest. The breathing becomes very shallow. And I like to think of our tummy as like caves, but it's got like dark nooks and crannies, and we need to like push the air, deep belly breathing into those kind of like dark places and take new fresh air, like rejuvenating, energizing air, and get rid of that stale air. So I would encourage them to breathe deeply. Another technique that I really, well, another two that I can give that are very kind of like great for in the moment are one, literally shake it off. So it's interesting you said again, like faster and faster. For me, I feel like it's almost like electricity coursing through my body. It's like a surplus of adrenaline, which it is. I mean, that's actually what's happening. And literally just flick it off. Like imagine you're running your arms, your hands down your arms, your body is like shake out your legs, roll your shoulders, wiggle your jaw, just try and get rid of that excess. And the third thing would be to try and control your heart rate. And there's a technique called the heartbeat tapper, and it's just very calmly up and down tapping on your wrist, you know, like, do you know dragon boats? It's quite an Asian thing, dragon boats, but they have someone at the front who beats a drum and it kind of determines the rhythm of the ship. And when we're panicking, our heart rate obviously goes through the roof. So having something that's kind of almost grounding us and showing us what the rhythm could be can be very grounding. And yeah, with all three of them, they're very physical. And then once you're out of the panic, you can then bring that rational brain and think clearly and in a much, you know, slower, more peaceful way, like tackle some of the other chapters in the book so that you're, you know, it's both. So you've got tools to deal with in the panic, and then you've also got tools to, like, as you said, kind of get to the source or think about things differently or gain a new perspective. Does that make sense?
I'm trying to think what I did that day that it happened to me. The research was not like it is. I mean, you know, we didn't have all of this that we could look up. It was just beginning when this happened to me. And I had, I have a heart murmur. Well, it's worse than that. But anyway, I had mentioned it to my cardiologist, and he said to me, well, tell me what happened. I mean, you know, he was concerned. he said, well, you know, you're intelligent. I think you can probably figure out. I said, well, I don't know. It woke me up. Well, he said, well, it's probably something in your dream. But you're right. You have to find why this starts for you. I mean, and everybody's mm-hmm. different. You know, mm-hmm. like I said, speaking in front of 100 people, I probably would have to get you on the phone and say, Aggie, you got to get me out of this. I can't breathe. No, maybe not. Maybe not. Sometimes experience takes over. But to me, that would be scary. See, and that's another thing that would be scary to me. I mean, I don't hesitate talking to new people at all, but I don't. That's one of the things that I probably couldn't. And maybe meeting somebody that I was anxious to meet. You know, like, oh, wow, I'm actually going to meet this person. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden you start to overthink. You think, you're thinking too much. Don't think. That's for me. Don't think about it. Just go and do it, you know. I feel badly
for
people. Yeah, you know, I feel badly for people. But your book, Generation Panic, of course it's on Amazon. It covers it right there, the big words in white, mm-hmm. panic. And, you know, for those who are going through something like this, I mean, it's a paperback. It's not expensive. I think it would behoove everybody to get it, just to have it on hand and to peruse the chapters and see what's going on. You know, oh, yeah, this is me. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. I have to ask you, what do you still get panic attacks?
So I haven't had a panic attack since that time. And
okay.
I think
because awesome.
I've got the tools. You know, this is all about, I believe that everyone is able to avoid that if they have the tools. But it starts with having an awareness of what's possible for them. And so, yeah, that's a huge kind of driver for me on this, is making sure that people just physically have the understanding in their hands. You know, they have the tools in their hands, and that's the beauty of this book, is that it's something you can, it's not just like sit down and read the whole thing, although people might want to, but I just spoke with a lady today who just said, it's so nice. I just sometimes dip into it. Like in an evening, I'll just pick up and read one of the chapters and then really think about it and apply it. And that's the beauty of it. It's returnable. It's like a guide, a companion, a buddy, to let you know that you're not on your own. You've got things to do that are going to make it just easier and like happier and less stressful.
And sometimes they say if you change your focus, like you read a chapter out of your book, read the newspaper, go outside and smell the air and look at the beauty in the world. You know, just change your focus, because something triggers it. It's a mm-hmm. concentration of something that you're thinking about, and it takes you off the deep end. And I woke up with it. I don't even know what happened. It probably was a dream. I probably had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it ever happened again. I'm trying to think. I don't think so. I think it was only that one time with me. But we had just moved down here, and everything was new and, you know, kind of overwhelming. You see, I set the mm-hmm. pattern was set for me. It was just, you know, moving to a place and building our house and blah, blah, blah. You know, all of that was brand new, a new state, totally like off everything. Anything you could think of, I was doing brand new. And mm-hmm. so I think that's what did it for me. My brain was working overtime even when I was sleeping.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And well, obviously when we're sleeping, we're processing and we're like at our most kind of open to what's going on. But it's interesting, even as you talk now, it's clear that maybe actually new things hold more weight for you, which is just interesting and important information. Whereas interestingly for me, I was finding the things that I historically had been very good at or done with ease way more intimidating than a new thing. Like walking into something that I should have just nailed would put too much pressure on myself. So it's interesting, like just for your listeners, there's so many different sides to this. And ultimately, yeah, our beliefs run the way that we do things. So we do start to like there's amazing research around, it's called reticular activating system. But if I told you, Natalie, to like go out tomorrow and spot orange cars, you'd probably see them everywhere. And so we really do see what we put into our heads. And so if you're always seeing the panic, if you're kind of always living in fear of the next one, you're going to have one. You're going to have it. You've got to trust that you're okay.
I think some people, it paralyzes them because they get them all the time, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know, but I mean, you would know that. I mean, that's, and then you end up not wanting to go anywhere because you don't know how you're going to react. I mean, it sets this thing on a whirl for you. You've got to stop. Even if you have to ask for help, you just have to change something because it's the world is a beautiful place. I mean, even though we're having difficulties, it's still a beautiful place. We were just, you and I were talking about Singapore and what I imagine it to be, and you said, yeah, that's it, you know, and I've never been there, but I just have this beautiful feeling of tower, big buildings and old buildings and the Orient, how, and if you have never been there, you don't even know, but you've been to many places. Now, you have a site called mylifehouse.co. Now, that's a group of people on it. Is that what it is?
That is. But actually, my own personal website, which is probably better, is generationpanic.com, which has got all the things on the book and then links to my coaching website as well.
Generationpanic.com. I'm going to look this up right now. I'm going to put it on my screen because I have to view. I love
you.
To see. Isn't that funny? I like to see. Funny, I don't know why.
But again, that's good information to know about yourself. Like, if you need to see things, then you need to see.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
you need to apply
yes.
that visual is important to you when you walk through the book.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'll
and
be
it's
less
a,
about
it's
feelings,
a,
it'll be what you see.
I have to see.
And
that's
and
probably for, you know, I'm hoping it's for a lot of people because if you see something, you don't go off the deep end saying, oh, I don't know, what is this like? Look at it. Look. See. Yeah, it's always been important to see for me, and but I don't know if I recognized this when I was really young. I guess when I was little, I did. You know, even in school, I can remember, and I always remember this retailing class that I had, and she was wonderful. I always remember her saying, you know, like it says $1.98. Well, hello, it's only 2 cents away from $2. She said, it's a mindset. I remember standing there and saying, think about it. Would you go and buy this for $1.98 or would you go over and buy for $2? She said, you'd go to the $1.98. And she was right, and I never forgot that. So it's what the eye sees. It's what the brain picks up and says, oh, this is cheaper. Yeah, but it's only 2 cents, you know. So is it really on sale? Kind of, sort of. It is. So you're going to save 2 cents, right? But you know, little things like that, and I think you have to recognize things also about places that you go, people that you talk to. Your site, generationpanic.com, has this big thing. Like it's like a burst that says Generation Panic, and it's got a man and a woman. I'm thinking that's what it is. And you have here all about it, you know, you can read a whole lot in here, and there's a nice video about yourself. You're on, I don't know if it's about yourself, but it was your book launch, and all about you. You were featured in the paper. I didn't know all of this. Oh, perfect example, Aggie. She looks like a tennis player, and my heart was racing, the rise of Generation Panic. See, she... And that could happen. You're at that moment when you're gonna make it, right? I'm gonna do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you look around and say, "Oh my God, how did I get?" Don't think, just do. Don't think, just do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably a lot of people going through this right now, Aggie, I think. And Yeah, your site is really nice. It basically goes upon this, you know, your heart is racing and all of that, dealing with pressure. Oh, my goodness. It's just wonderful. All of your stuff is wonderful. Just wonderful in here. I mean, you've got all your podcasts here. Hopefully, maybe I'll be there. And, you know, all the things that you've accomplished. Now I'm going to go over some of these things. You're a certified coach, associate certified coach, international coaching. You are a certified professional coach. You are a neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. Now, I had somebody that was a friend of mine, well, she would still be a friend of mine. She went and studied to do this. But you know what happened to her, Aggie? She changed. It changed her. She was not the same person, and I don't know really what happened to her. Doesn't mean that it happens to everybody. You have a Bachelor of Arts in English, your Advanced Communicator Bronze Award, Toastmasters. Fun facts. Oh, you like doing crosswords.
Love a crossword.
You like doing those. And you like doing board games. Now, let me see if talk about fears. You did, you are afraid of heights. But you did a skydive. Now, did you have a panic attack with that?
No,
no,
not at all.
Good.
But I think I mean, that was before all of this.
How did you say to yourself,
started.
Okay, I want to do this. This is gonna help. I don't like being high either. And what I don't like is, and I've always been like this, climbing steps without a rail and coming down steps without a rail. So that's height. That's going up high. It's the same thing. In essence, it is. I've never liked that. I mean, if I have something to hold on to, I'm fine. But I've never had an attack because of it. I just recognize it that it is a problem for me. So when you said to yourself, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to skydive, I mean, did it help you with your fear of being high, being up?
Absolutely, because I've done it. I'm here on the ground. I'm here to kind of tell the story. But at the time, I remember, I mean, this was many years ago now. This was on the, I was traveling around Australia at the time, and it was, you know, insane. Looking down the west coast of Australia, just stunning over the kind of Great Barrier Reef. And I remember having my feet off the side of the plane being like, what the hell am I doing? This is
right.
Crazy. But
you idiot. What are you doing doing this?
Yeah, exactly. Why on earth did I sign up for this? But the beauty of that, and I don't know, I guess this made it more safe for me, and actually it's kind of not, you know, definitely linked to the book, is that I had someone strapped behind me. I had someone who I was tied to
get
myself to the side of the plane. But I was with this friend, and she was also, you know, linked up to someone. And so, you know, a big part of this book as well is the people around you. And, like, have you got safe people in your life who you can really rely on to support you in whatever way that you need? Or have you got the right people just in your network?
Right.
I describe it
to
as radiant
you.
And brainers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, those people who just suck out your energy, and even if you've been friends with them for ages or it makes sense on paper, actually you leave seeing them and it's just like, oh, I feel knackered, or it wasn't that positive for me. And actually, if you're surrounding yourself with the right people, I mean, you can do anything. And I believe that.
I don't like to be up high either. I don't think I could do that. I don't think I would set
myself
up.
Well, if you don't
think
you could, then you won't. But if you think you
I don't have the desire
to
do it.
You definitely can.
And another
That's
thing I'm afraid
that,
of is
right?
water, Aggie. As a little girl, and this is a fear, and this can bring on attacks. So we're going back to that. When I was a little girl, probably 7 years old, we were all at this place called Camp Dearborn in Michigan. And we were with my girlfriend's family, her uncles and aunts and all of that. And we were playing in the water, having a great time. And one of her uncles came behind me, my friend's uncle, and helped push me down under the water. He thought it was funny, but it did something to me. It's like somebody attacking you, but if you're being attacked, you can fight back. I couldn't fight back because he was holding me down under the water. He thought it was hilarious because he was laughing. When I finally came up, he was laughing, and I probably looked like I had just about died. Well, I can step in the water, but I can only go, like, up to my chest. That's it. I get this feeling. And so it's very real to me. And so for those of you out there that have a fear of something, I didn't get panic attacks because I never push myself to the limit with it now, obviously. I just don't. And I live by the ocean, but I don't know if, and everybody has always respected that with me. Nobody's ever come up behind me or, you're really afraid. Come on. I don't know what would happen to me. Yeah. But you see, that started when I was a little girl. That's, you know, and things like that you can bring back really quick that have mm-hmm. done something to you. It's a memory. And that memory can, but I don't really think about it. And if I'm near water, I think it's beautiful. Do I go on boats? No. Have I gone on a boat? Yes. I went on a boat here that was, we were sailing. Oh, talk about scary, Aggie. Here is me, right? I can't swim, and the crests of the water, I mean, I'm looking down, and they're coming up, and I must have turned white. You know, I had a life preserver on, but it didn't matter. And I looked around, and I saw my late husband, and I saw my brother-in-law. And I knew if you fall in, they're coming after you. There was no doubt in my mind. And I knew I wouldn't fall in. And I must have really turned this awful color of white, because when we got back on land, the man who was, he decided to go back to the engine, you know, because everybody was not feeling good. And he came up to me, he says, "You really did well for being afraid of the water." I wanted to hit him in the face. Really? Did you do that on purpose to me? And you see, so now I don't really, I don't know if I would trust anybody. Now my husband is gone, but my son is around, and he would never, ever, because he knows I'm afraid of water. If I fell in, he's going in after me. There's no doubt. Same thing with my granddaughter and my daughter-in-law. But you see, I don't put myself in that position, and I think that could probably trigger something with me. So I haven't brought that up in a long time, but it's kind of nice to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing. It sounds like really powerful experiences, and it just shows that we're made up of all of our experiences and the importance of the people around us. And, you know, it's a good example of, you kind of have to want to change things. You know, if the kicker isn't big enough, there's no need to do something. You know, if that's a fundamental NLP. You can change the behavior.
I had a girlfriend. She worked at the Y, Aggie, and she taught swimming. And because I was in tennis, so she was at another place, and we talked, and she said, I could get you through this. And I said, oh, I don't know, Joyce. And she said, you know what I would do first? I said, well, you wouldn't throw me in. She said, oh, no. Mm-mm. She said, we would sit on the edge of the pool, and you'd get your feet wet a little bit, just a tiny bit. Just feel the water with your feet. I mean, she loved me. I mean, she said, and we would go really slow, and maybe the next time we met, you put your whole foot in. She said, because it's a layer. She called it like a series of things that you have to do to get through something. And but we never got past, how far did I get? We were not in deep water at all. Oh, no, she would never have done that to me. And she says, you know, you can take swimming lessons. It used to be that they would throw you in the water. How stupid, she said, that, you know, you just don't do that. And I'm using the water thing because that's the only thing that I'm really still probably afraid of. I mean, I have always wanted to fly a plane. Can you imagine that? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really, why not?
Yes, only because my father took me to the airport every Saturday to watch the planes land and take off. because that was his love and he passed it on to me. But, and if I was on a plane and I had to fly it, I could do it. I wouldn't even think about it. I could do it. But somebody said, oh, I don't know, Aggie, you know what I'm thinking here now too? Like if you have this fear, and fear brings on anxiety and panic. If mm-hmm. you have this fear, but yet you're in a situation where you have to do something, like I think if somebody that I love fell over and got hurt and they were in the way, I probably would go in after them. I probably wouldn't even think that, because that's my nature, to save you, to protect you, to help you. That's what I do on earth. That's what I am. I'm of service. That would cure me, wouldn't it?
Well, that's beautiful. How lucky those people are in your life. And yeah, it just shows, again, like when the kick is big enough, you would do it. So
yeah, if
you
don't
you
think,
want
if you don't have time to think and you see
point.
Your loved one, you know. And you know what's really funny? And I have to tell you this about my granddaughter. She tells me, she says, oh, ask Graham. She calls me Graham. She can do it. She can do anything. But I can't do everything. Oh, yes, you can, she said. She says, I know you can.
Yeah, it's just you
well,
choose not to.
She knows. And she's 17.
You can. I believe. I agree with her. Yeah. You can
You know,
anything.
She said to me, you can. You can, Graham. And I said, but why do you say that? I don't know. I just believe it. She says, I just think there's nothing impossible for you. You know? And, you know, she had a little panic attack when she was learning to drive. I could see it. Her hands were getting sweaty, and she was holding the wheel really tight. I'm in the back, and my son is in the front with her, right? But she was doing it. And what I did was, you know, if she was doing something maybe that, because she was a new driver, you know, sometimes you kind of go too close to the edge or something like that. All I did was talk to her and encourage her, you know. She told me, because she passed, of course, and she's driving. She's driving like she's driven all of her life. Isn't that hilarious? She was petrified. And she told me, she says, sometimes I find that I get so, I can't really breathe. And so I said to her, okay, well, we have to attack that. Let's do that. And so we talked and we laughed, and she was looking at the road, and she can drive at night. I hate driving at night. But she's like a pro now. So whatever happened to her, you know, was last year, she overcame that. And so you can, right, Aggie, you can. You can do things that you're fearful of, and you don't make them go in, you don't allow it to go put you into a panic. But she told me, she says, oh, I'm having trouble breathing. I said, calm down. I said, just take some slow, shallow breaths. Grammy's here. Remember, Graham can do anything. And she stopped because she believed me, say. I mean, I don't know that I had an influence. I'm sure I did because my son stopped talking. And he let me talk to her. And that was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. It was wonderful. Just like Joyce, who thought she could teach. Well, she knew she could teach me to swim. She said, I just know it. It might take me a year, but she says, we're going to do it. So is it believing in somebody, talking to somebody like you? I would trust you if you said, Natalie, this is what you need to do. I can't do it for you. But this is what you need to do. This is what I'm getting that will really help you, say? Is that really why? Why did you write the book? I mean, obviously you had this panic issue years ago, right? But why did you write the book?
So for me, I just wanted something in one place. Like I felt like I had pulled together so many of these resources and wanted them under one roof. And so I wrote it for myself. I really wrote it as something that I could return to. And then I suddenly got to the point where I was like, this is what I needed. I can't imagine that I'm the only person going through this.
Oh, no, you're
like,
not.
Shame on me if I don't make it available. Yeah, like it's a travesty if I have this knowledge and I'm not passing it on, but I'll just kind of keep my greedy mitts on it all for myself. And so I just thought, actually, this is it's more important that I do it and share that. And, you know, when I was writing it, then with that in mind, I had this kind of vision of this. I was writing to this like one person who I didn't know, who wasn't already in my kind of social or professional circle or kind of anywhere in my life, but would out of the blue kind of say, oh my gosh, you know, I've read this book and I've got one of those emails, and it's just so cool. It's so cool that the person that I was writing for, in whatever way they got access to the book, who knows, through a podcast or a recommendation or a friend of a friend, whatever it might have been, has read it. And then it's like, oh, I mean, I'm totally made up by that. You know, that's what it's all about. And so, yeah, I'm kind of done now. Great. Like I achieved what I set out to do. Yeah, and it's been really fun. It's been a real honor and like such incredible conversations.
You should be proud of your work, because it's going to help a lot of people. And like I said, it's on Amazon, and I'm going to put it in our bookstore. But, you know, talking to somebody who has the experience, because sometimes people write about things and they have no clue what it's like, not a clue. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just going on research and everything like that. It's better to hear mm-hmm. from somebody that has actually experienced it, and they know.
Well, I found that.
And they're going to believe it. I mean, and then they're going to read it and say, okay. I had a motivational speaker on. He's been on my show a couple of times, and he said to me, you know, I was thinking, Natalie, because we have talked about me being on a stage. He said, you would be on stage, and I would show you what to do, and it'd be all, you would just be like, you'd be talking on the radio. And I said, well, maybe. So sometimes it's just encouragement from someone, like reading your book and realizing that this is all over the world. And I think it's more so right now, because I think people are putting themselves under a lot of stress. Some of it maybe they don't really have to, because they just have to know, and I know that it's going to be okay. You know, I mean, there are things that I'm seeing that I'm really upset about, because this is still going on, this COVID and all of that, and people passing and all. I mean, I'm an empath, and that really bothers me. I mean, I could sit there and I could sob all day about all these people, but I try not to watch things like that. Yeah, I watch a lot of stuff on animals and sanctuaries, and I feed 8 deer at night, big ones, in my backyard. Because
wow.
I love life.
That's so cool.
I love life so much, you know. I'm following you on Instagram. So if you go and follow me, you'll see a picture of this big doe. She's mammoth. And she is the alpha. But things like that, I get such a delight. You know, my son said to me, why do you keep watching these? I said, because it's beautiful. Because they don't come during the day for me yet. And I just love them. I just love life. And I think everybody needs to love life, love your life, and know that it is a beautiful world. It really, really is. And all of this can be solved. There's a lot of intelligence out there, and it's going to be okay. And I just keep telling myself that. Now, you know, I don't go, and I don't know about you, what's it like? What's it like over there in Singapore? I mean, is it, are things getting better as far as the virus and all of that? Can you see it changing a little bit, I hope?
So we've just gone into, as I say that, but that's interesting in itself. Like, I hope, you know, there's still hope for me, but we've just gone into further restrictions. So we're now back down to, we can only leave in pairs. You can only meet up in with 2 people out, which is, we have young kids, so that's a little frustrating. We can't leave as a family. And we're not yet able to leave the island.
Now, can people fly to? Can people come to Singapore if they've been vaccinated, or they're not allowing anything?
Not really. You have to get special permission from the government. But you know what? It's a really interesting point, because you know, the pandemic has happened to absolutely everyone, and there's been like a whole concoction, a whole variety of experiences and perspectives. And it's so interesting that people can go through exactly the same thing. I mean, even if you look at the way that businesses are run, like every business is essentially facing the same thing, but you have all these different CEOs with different values, different ways of leading, different mm-hmm. kind of priorities, and that really determines, and different perspectives or outlooks, and that determines like where they're at. You know, people who are, I think it serves people well if they're not just a Pollyanna and just seeing like everything is, you know, daisies
yeah,
and happy,
hunky-dory,
peachy-creamy.
It's
but,
not. It's
yeah,
not, right.
Like, the people who are able to put things into perspective and be able
yeah.
to see things and flip things in a positive. You know, if you're, so for us, oh my gosh, what I would do to have like a gin and tonic with my family in, they're based all over the UK. Well, yeah, what I would do for that. However, there are like serious benefits to us being here now with the kids and our little, you know, our little family. And if I spent all my time just worrying about not being somewhere else,
yeah,
it's
true. And
way
you can
more
Zoom,
exhausting.
You can still see, and you can, you know, you can do that. That's available, and but it's not the same. No, I know what you're saying, and I'm trying. Well, here, you know, in South Carolina, you know, they had virtual school last year. Believe it or not, my granddaughter really liked it, and I said to her, "Why?" She says, "Because you know," she says, "it's a mess at school." She said, mm-hmm. You know, you can't, because there's just so many variances. There's just so many, you know, this one does this, and this one's doing that, and this one doesn't study, and this one studies. She says, they're all over the place, you know. She said, mm-hmm. I could just finish high school at home. But, I, you know, mm-hmm. I said to her, but you would like to do all the activities and stuff. She said, yeah, like they went to home. She went to homecoming. A bunch of girls went, all of them together. Now, they don't do the boy-girl thing anymore, I guess. And it was fun, and she's socializing. And I think it's important if you can socialize because that's a learn. You have to learn. You have to learn what things are like. If you're in a bubble in your house, you're not going to be able to experience everything. And so, mm-hmm. you know, now it's a little different. They've eased up. And I just pulled up Singapore on my one monitor here, and oh my gosh, I was right how it looked. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now, are you in
yeah,
the heart of the of Singapore or what?
Pretty much. I mean, it's a very small island.
Yes.
You know,
I see
most
that.
Things are like a 15, 20-minute drive. Yeah, so, yeah, we pretty much are. We're not in the, it's called the CBD, you know, like the banking district.
Okay.
But we're just down the river. We're down the river.
Oh, awesome.
In a kind of high-rise condo.
I see the high-rises here.
Yeah.
I just looked it up, and I can see all of them. But, yeah, well, mm-hmm. I wish I could get – what is this? I'm going to have you tell me. We're doing a little bit of a geographic study here. It says here – let me see. It's this big, tall – thing, and I don't even know what it is. It's I can't even tell you what it is. Let me see if it tells me what it is. A spiral. It goes up, got all these things at the top. It's not a building. It's not a building. It says visit. Let's see. I want to know what this is. You have to tell me. We're doing
I
a little
have no idea what you're
oh,
talking
this
about.
Is a sim-
have you got
symbol
the right?
of Singapore. It's a symbol of Singapore, it says, that you. I don't even know if you know what it is. Let's see.
Is it the merlion?
It's called Super Trees.
It's
a display of gardens
yes,
by the bay.
At the gardens of the by the bay, yes. So they have these amazing structures. You can see it if you watch the film Crazy Rich Asians. They have an amazing party in there, and every night they light up. Yeah,
you're kidding.
The nature here is incredible. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really, really beautiful.
Oh, yes. I just think of everything being rising up. I don't know why I've always felt that about places like that. Isn't that strange? You have your own idea, you know? I have to do some armchair traveling, I think, here. That's what I have to do.
Well, you're always welcome.
Get to that.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'll get to it. But, you know, yeah, I have to really have to do that because it's amazing, just amazing. And But anyways, you know, I have enjoyed talking to you. I mean, our time is gone. I mean, but I know it's late for you. But I have enjoyed our talk on this, and I hope when people listen, and I'm going to post this to Twitter as soon as we're done, I'm going to tell them just a little bit about, please listen if you're experiencing this, because, you know, to me, you know what it's like, and you've written about it, and you have a book that will help people, and you don't need to go to see, well, a lot of people don't like to read, they like to talk to somebody. Read out loud, you know, read it out loud. My granddaughter, and I keep bringing her up, likes me to read to her, believe it or not. She likes, and I said, why? She said,
I love that.
Yeah, she said, she said, because when you read something, like if it's a dialogue, this is me talking, she'll say conversation, I say dialogue, you raise up and you come back down. If it's strong words, you know how to emphasize. And she said, mm-hmm. I mean, two summers in a row I read her book to her, and she wrote a report on it. But she doesn't like to read.
Oh.
Yeah, she says, here, Graham, come on, Graham, you read this, read it. But she liked it, and her and I are writing a fairy tale. And she took part of it into school.
Okay.
And she read it in front of the class because the teacher said, no, you need to read this. Read this in front of them. And they all loved it. She's going to do the illustrations and help me with the writing of it. But I've already got the story in my head. But it's just a beautiful tale. And so, yeah. But, you know, life is wonderful. It really, really is. I mean, you know, my husband had Alzheimer's. I had to take care of him. No, that wasn't a wonderful part of my life. But it's the past. You know what I'm saying? Let go of the past. Look ahead. And now I want to ask you this before we go. You have another book that you're going to write? You got something going on in that head of yours, that beautiful mind, to do something else?
Who knows? I have a couple of things that like swirl through, but back to the book, one of the chapters is celebrate and just actually pausing and acknowledging where you are. And for me, this is a very a sweet moment and one that I'm enjoying. So definitely not rushing it, but I mean, who knows?
Good. Now, I have to ask you this. Do you have children?
Yes, we have two little kiddos.
Okay, awesome. Well, You can see how they see things, you know. It's wonderful. It really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with that, I'm going to say good evening to you, lovely lady. And I so enjoyed this, and I hope it enlightened a lot of people. That's what I like to see when I do shows like this. Help. It's a help. It's kind of like soul for the world. I want people to know that people are out there that understand. And to get your book, it's on Amazon. And it's Generation Panic by Aggie Heal. And it's, and I love your accent. I have to tell you that too.
Well, if you want to hear more, I've also recorded an audio book, as you were just talking about audio. So there's an Audible version.
I see. Audio book. Yes, you can. You can get it. Oh, yes. They must do that then. If you don't want to read it, listen to her because you'll love her voice. And, well, you hear this. And I'm going to put this, like I said, on Twitter. And then my Candy, who's in the chat room right now, I call her my Candy, she is going to put it out there. I do it. I do the Twitter thing after the show. And she does everything else. And because we want everybody to hear about you and know about you. And I write little comments and then it gets retweeted. Well, you know the story. I mean, it's all, everything is a social network. It's a good thing. And
well, thank you for sharing.
Oh, no, thank you for coming on. And I enjoyed this. And I'm still drinking my coffee and everything is good to go here. Have a good
evening,
please.
Well, have a wonderful day.
Yes,
take care.
Thank you, honey. Okay, everybody, you know, as I always end the show, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. And if you, that is my focus. If you can just take a moment to realize you're not alone, you just can't see it all, but just believe that there are things there, just believe, just like me. And be safe out there and follow the guidelines of your state, country, wherever you are, because we want you to be good, you know. And we want you to be happy, and it is a beautiful world. Contrary to what you might have heard or what you have thought about, or people tell you, no, this is bad, no. Cross that from your mind. You're walking and talking, and that's a bonus in itself, you know, and if you're healthy, but be safe. And so we always end the show with our little music special. Maybe Aggie will like this. Free to love. So we have to do this. It ends everybody on a happy note because we all are free to love, and it's by Gabby Ray. So, Aggie, listen to this. This is cool. This is really, really cool. I got to find it here. Free to love, where are you? There it is. Okay, here we go. See you. Let's see, when am I going to see everybody next? I don't have a show Friday. Oh, I have a show next Friday. It's on I Ching, the two people that wrote the book. So that's going to be great. That's going to be a good one. So, okay, dance party. Here we go. Free to love. Bye, Aggie. I love you. You already, I love you. You're a wonderful lady.
Thank you.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitation, discrimination, this world could show all its colors, so get the chip off the shoulder.
Good day, everybody. See you next week when I have authors that wrote the book on I Ching. That's going to be special, too. But anyways, have a good day. Believe in things you cannot see, and I will see you next week. Bye. Peace.